Hello, this is Brian Reynolds, volunteer for the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. Today, we are joined by Lisa Vallejos, Senior Coordinator, Language Arts and Language Development, County Office of Education, Sasha Jefferson, a parent and a kindergarten aide at Pacheco Elementary School, and Laura McCarley, a parent at Pacheco Elementary School. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
Well, today we're going to talk about a topic very close to my heart and one that is in the news and one of great interest to people around the country, but especially here in California with the passage of Proposition 58 last November, and that is bilingual education. And how does it work, and what are its advantages, maybe some historical background. We hope to be able to explain to people how important it is and how the United States of America should get on board like with most of the other countries of the world and teach more languages besides our native English. So, Lisa, could we talk a little bit about the history of bilingual education in California, particularly what happened a few years ago when it was partially banned?
Yes. So in 1968, way back then, we had the Bilingual Education Act passed, which allowed for schools to provide programs for students in their primary language. And we had a number of programs, be it a heritage language programs, where you have students in a classroom that are learning, all learning English as a second language, but are learning their content in their primary language and then building literacy so that they can transition into an English and primary language program. We had transitional bilingual programs where students would begin in their primary language and then transition into an English program once they developed literacy. And for a couple of decades, we had bilingual programs running, and at one point, Prop 227 came along, and that drastically changed. Because what we ended up with was an initiative that asked for English-only instruction in our classes. And so many of the bilingual programs went to the wayside at that time. Now, they didn't completely disappear. In our county, we still have two dual immersion programs that offer bilingual and biliteracy bilingualism and biliteracy as a goal, and they were able to continue despite 227, because one of the caveats was that parents had the option, and that's the key, it's also the key to our new proposition, to continue in a bilingual program if they signed a waiver. And so what they were doing essentially was waiving their right to an English-only program. Now, it drastically reduced the amount of bilingual classrooms that we had, but it did allow for many dual immersion programs in particular to stay active and running, fortunately. So what essentially Prop 58 has done is removed that requirement for a bilingual waiver, for a waiver for a English-only program, so that parents now simply have the option of choosing what type of program they want, be it an English-only student or an English language learner, which would be the student of a parent who in the household they speak a language other than English, they're learning English, and might need some extra support in learning English, but also have the opportunity to participate in a bilingual program or an English program or a structured English immersion program, depending on what they want.
It's so interesting. On all levels, it's interesting what you said, but particularly there's probably very few states in the world, or certainly in the U.S., that are as diverse and large as California, and yet policy is being made one size fits all that directs and dictates local curriculum. It seems awkward, regardless of the merits of the program you're talking about, to have such thing mandated rather than leave it up to local school districts and local PTAs and teachers and so forth. But anyway, that's the hand of cards we're dealt with.
And Prop 58 has truly done that now. We really now have the options to provide parents with a choice, if you will. If we have 20 students at a grade level or 30 students at a school that want a bilingual program, that will trigger a district to explore whether or not they have the staffing, the curriculum, and the capability to start a program, the capacity, if you will, in the following school year. It takes about a year to get a program up and running if all those factors, you know, work out. But that's really what we have. So it's really a time to celebrate. Prop 58 was a huge victory for choice, just like you're saying, for bilingual programs, but also just for parent choice and for districts to have more control over what they choose to offer and what they don't.
Thank you, Lisa. I would like to ask Sasha and then Laura about their experiences as parents at Pacheco. What stands out for you as important, or what was perhaps surprising about your experience there? How about you, Sasha, to start off?
Well, my son always was welcome, and that is the beauty of the program, that the kids and the families feel welcome no matter their background, and the fluency of how the program goes from day one in the progress of the kids, and how impressed we were to see that even our kid wasn't taught to read and write at that moment in English. He was able to do it at home by himself while he was growing in Spanish and was getting stronger. And that gave him more confidence. And still, now that he is in fourth grade, I see the success of his efforts at the beginning, and then how the confidence and the love for the language and the culture, as is not just a Hispanic or Latin culture, but also with the Americans. So he feels like a one, and he can have that option of communicated with English Spanish kid or Spanish speaker kid.
So I heard you say, just to recap, what impressed you at first was the attitude or the atmosphere, or as we'd say in Spanish, el ambiente, that was welcoming and non-judgmental. But then beyond that, the ability of your son and you as a family to pursue what you needed, when you needed it, and how. And over the years, he's certainly taken advantage of it. How about you, Laura? Tell us about your experience.
Well, I love Pacheco. It's a wonderful community. We have four kids. They all go to school there. We have a preschooler, first grader, fourth grader, and sixth grader. And there's so many things I love about it. I think the first thing I noticed when you walk in, it's basically half English speakers, so usually Anglo kids, and then half Spanish speakers. And so right from the beginning, you have more diversity than my children would have experienced in a different school in this community. And how the program is kind of set up, the kids are working together. And so my kids just grew up with friends that looked different than them and that didn't necessarily speak English. And the staff and the leadership at the school is excellent. It's just been a wonderful experience. Now, our first two children are Anglo. They're our bio children. And about 3 years ago, we adopted two kids from foster care that are Latino. And so I'm kind of there's not many parents like me where my first kids, I really wanted them to add Spanish. But it has been so touching to me to be able for my last kids to be able to hold on to their language. And I wouldn't have been able to do that myself. But through the school and the community of the school, they can practice their Spanish. They have teachers who speak Spanish that look like them. It's just been amazing for our family.
How is the student body chosen to get those kinds of numbers, you know, the 50-50? Do kids and parents sign up for it, or is it handled at the district level? How is that achieved?
Well, the parents are the desire of the parents to be part of this program. And you could see the line of people wanted to be part of this program. So they are evaluated. The kids that have a second language speaking at home, they are evaluated so they can see what is the level of speaking and understanding of each language. And then depending on that, they are located. But the English speaking kids, they have to go to the lottery to be able to get into those spots, because this is a great opportunity and there is a lot and many kids that want to be part of this program, but are really few spots.
Right.
So the Spanish speaking kids are evaluated by teachers, other teachers?
Trained people for the district, yeah.
And then I'm also assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there are more kids of both backgrounds who want to be attend Pacheco than there are spots.
Exactly. That's
right. Interesting. Yes. Well, you've got a tiger by the tail then, as we say.
And what the district is assuring is that we have a 50-50 balance, and that's what really defines a dual immersion program, is that half of the class at any given time is being instructed in a second language and using a second language. And so ideally we're going to have 50% English-only students in there, 50% identified English language learners. Sometimes we have bilingual students in there as well that really are proficient, quite proficient in both languages there. But it's that balance and it's that need of the different groups to sort of depend on the other for support with language.
Other students.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. Other students, yes. That really is sort of the magic of the program. Yeah.
Now, we were talking earlier, Lisa, about academic achievement being different when the class is a blend of native English speakers versus English learners versus a class where it's all English or all, you know, English learners. The blend seems to work better. Is that correct?
Well, you know, in English, it's really, again, it's really up to a parent to decide what they want for their child, because if proficiency in English is really their utmost desire, if they are willing at home to say, I'm going to support the Spanish, you know, if it's an English language learner at home, you know, that's certainly their choice. Everybody's teaching the standards now. So there's not a huge difference in curriculum and materials, even in methodology, how teachers are teaching students. It's just that if a parent decides that I really want my child to exit public education being not only mastering the standards, but being proficient in both English and Spanish, dual immersion is a really good route to take. You can also earn something called a seal of biliteracy, which is attached to your diploma. That was something that was put in place several years ago by the state of California. And that's another thing that really kind of puts that carrot out there for kids and kind of reminds them that we're here to really assure that you, in a dual language program, become proficient in two languages, that you can communicate in both your primary language as well as English. And, you know, that falls by the wayside a bit if you're not in a program. That probably makes sense, right? You know, if you're just maybe just at home speaking Spanish with your family, that your level of proficiency might end up being a bit different than if you're continuing, you know, throughout your K-12 education to actually be taught in a second language.
We were talking earlier about that very issue where, I mean, in this country, English is the language of the land, and we learn to speak it first and foremost before we learn other languages. But learning the language in the first, second, third grade and reading, writing, it doesn't stop there. I mean, we study grammar. Later on, we study literature and plays and so forth. Composition, how to write an essay or a business letter. So I'm assuming the same would be true for Spanish or Chinese or Italian or anything else. You don't just master the language, but you polish it. You study it as you grow.
Exactly, because we're not off after social language for English only, English learners, anyone. We're after academic language. We want students to be proficient in a language so that they can go out into college and career and be ready to use both and be comfortable using both languages, not just to socially interact, but to lead and to engage in text in the language that they're learning.
Let me ask the parents then, Sasha and Laura, what would a typical day like be like at Pacheco? How many classes, how many are in English versus in the dominant language, I guess, would be Spanish? Do kids learn, do they take a history lesson in both languages, for example? How does that work?
Well, Pacheco is actually the largest school in SLO because so many people have wanted to come, and it's kind of the largest it can be. Right now, it's converting to a 90-10 model. So in kindergarten and first grade, the bulk of the day is entirely in Spanish, and then that would be 90%, and then 10% would be in English. And so everything is just taught in the language. So 90%, it's in Spanish. So
all the
math
subjects
would be in Spanish. And usually, you know, this English would be art or music or physical education, and then they do English language development. In the upper grades, where it's 50-50, they tend to do a thing where 1 week is in Spanish and then the next week is in English. And so the same language the same lesson isn't taught twice. It's only taught once, and it's in whatever language it's time for at that point. So do you want to add to that, Sasha?
Yeah, well, in 90-10, that 10% is also the kids are read to them history, and that is part of the curriculum. It's mm-hmm. goals all blends, and the teachers try to put a little bit of what they are working in Spanish also in that 10% in English, so the kids get exposed. And also, the other grades, second grades and up, they have two classes, one classroom just in Spanish, another one in English, but both are sequentially working in the same subject. The kids don't feel the difference moving through the day from one classroom to the other because they are looking into the same information in the walls. They are working the same subjects. So they don't feel difference in academically, just the language. So that is the beauty of the training, because even their brains start to switching from one language to the other without even thinking about it.
That's an experience I've had speaking, because I am fluent in Spanish, with people who are also have the same skills. It's super fun because you almost speak this pidgin. You know, some of your words are English and Spanish, depending on what fits best. And probably somebody listening in would be, what are they talking about? Mm-hmm. This is Brian Reynolds, volunteer for the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. Today, we are joined by Lisa Vallejos, Senior Coordinator, Language Arts and Language Development, County Office of Education, and two parents from Pacheco Elementary, Sasha Jefferson and Laura McCarley. We were talking earlier about how important it is to start language instruction in the very earliest years possible. What do you think about that concept?
Well, I work with kindergarten kids, and this is the most beautiful age because they come as a babies pretty much, and they receive their first instruction from different person than their parents, and they absorb their little sponges that are just growing. And it amazed me as a mother, as a teacher, how they so quickly they start growing in the language, and they start communicating with their bodies without any thinking, any worry, and you see their confidence in their faces. And we are talking about weeks. Maybe the second month, your kids start putting sentences together, and really the program has done wonderful things. And I get feedbacks from the parents every day. Even they are learning at home. They get excited because they are also learning what their kids are learning.
I know that some naysayers have said that trying to pile too many languages on a young child is confusing, but I don't think that's backed up by reality.
No, but my son never had problem with confusion, and he always was able to separate both, and I'm really glad that we had this option.
Yeah, and the research doesn't back that up at all. There's plenty of research out there that shows that students or children can learn multiple languages and have and navigate them really with effortlessly, with no conscious effort on their part.
So amazing. And, of course, most of the developed countries of the world, probably all of them except us, do that. And it's not just something that's proven in the lab, but it's proven in the classrooms all over the world, especially in Europe, where all those countries are close by together. We also talked about the fact that when a child's brain is young, it's easily handles different languages. But if you don't provide the child that opportunity to learn a second language before the teenage years, before puberty, it can be done. You can learn it as a late teenager or an adult, but it's much harder. I think of it when you're young, the slope is you're walking along a level path like a sidewalk. But if you wait until it's too late, if you will, like your college years, that level path becomes a steep mountain, a lot harder.
Yes. So, and certainly the accent is going to be very difficult to overcome if you learn a language. You can, if you come in very literate, very strong on your first language, we definitely have students that can make that transition. It's just like you said, it's a little steeper slope. It doesn't come naturally. And of course, what happens in puberty, now students are ultra conscious of, you know, how they appear and whatnot. And that whole piece is really, you know, a challenge for learning a second language.
Doesn't science and teaching experience also show that children, students who learn more than one language, there's a synergy that happens between the two languages where sort of cross-fertilizing, they learn the languages better, they learn subjects better because they're looking at it maybe from a bilingual point of view?
Yes, absolutely. There's research that backs that it really, there's something synergistically going on that really just elevates your ability to think, to process higher level thinking, to engage in more rigorous content.
There's other examples, I guess, the Mozart effect, where they play classical music or to babies or cows and or plants, and they tend to grow more vigorously and so forth. Well, Sasha and Laura, you as parents, do you imagine, what do you think your kids are going to be like, say, when they are teenagers or adults, knowing two different cultures and knowing two different languages? Do you think it's going to be easier for them to make friends, to get jobs? What's your opinion?
Well, I hope so. I know I have definitely seen that especially my older children really care about people that are different from them, and even some things that have been happening politically, that they were really worried about their friends. Like, you know, this has happened. They've been saying these things. What's going to happen to my friend? What can we do to help? And I'm not sure if they would have felt that empathy and felt strongly about those kind of things, not having friends that were different from themselves. So I've really seen that. And I think they also know what it's like to have to work a little harder in school, that dual language immersion isn't always really easy. It's a little bit more work. And I've seen them they've had to work harder sometimes in school. And I think that's actually been good for them too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that in my case, my son, we already travel a lot, visit family back east, and is surrounded just by Hispanics and my family. And he is able to open in any conversation. He can read any document. He has that flexibility. And I think that is just open door is that key to open many, many doors that in otherwise he couldn't have.
You know, there's a big demand for Spanish speakers on the West Coast because that's a dominant language. But I know when I worked for the county that if you could speak another language and used it regularly, you actually got a little pay increment, a bump up, which is kind of cool. Are there enough teachers to make this happen? Are there enough teachers trained in this dual immersion discipline to make it viable?
Whew. Well, that's the real challenge right now all over our nation, and in particular here in California, because we're in a teacher shortage crisis as it is. Our county superintendent, Dr. Brescia, is making strides, but really putting an effort right now into teacher recruitment, teacher, you know, just getting the word out there at job fairs and whatnot. And to put on top of that, trying to find bilingual teachers is a huge challenge right now. We are working with our local universities to really see how we can recruit, because we've got the students, right? We've got students coming up through Pacheco, through Georgia Brown in North County, students that are Spanish speaking that did maintain their language that are out there. It's just that it's up to us now to really actively recruit those folks and get them into teaching, into teaching.
Generation from now, it would probably be better.
Absolutely.
What about parents, Anglo parents who are a little nervous about their kids being around Latino kids or learning another language, or Latino parents who don't want their kids speaking the language of the old country? How about that?
Well, we don't see that much in Pacheco, because everyone that comes to the program loves the language and really believes in the program and want their kids to grow in Spanish. But we can hear from another parents and friends that they believe that they need to, because it's the language of the land, the kids need to focus on the whole family. But what we have seen, and even from kids that have been evaluated, we have evaluated their English and Spanish levels, we see that even being from a Spanish-speaking home, their language is not good enough. They don't have a good basis, and they have been exposed to this kind of no clear for them. So when the Spanish kid comes to our programs, they kind of get that clear language basics. And once they get that solid foundation, is so much beautiful, even them, see them growing into a second language. So I think it's very...
Yeah, the informality of home is improved on and added to by the formality of the school environment. Well, how about you, Laura? Any parental opinions? One last word here?
Yeah, I think that Pacheco's a community, and I think you have lots of families coming together, and I think parents are getting to know each other and students get to know each other. I think it's a great experience for everyone. And I think in the end, everyone is learning English or Spanish, and it's a great program.
Yeah, we are one community, and we can see that, not just from the kids' point of view, but the parents. It's even the events, all the celebrations, it's all come together, and it's beautiful. We don't see the difference in languages there.
And we want these children to exit the program bilingual, bicultural. That means two languages. That means two cultures. We'll celebrate the German culture, the French culture. It's about really celebrating language and culture together and becoming proficient in two languages.
Fantastic. This has been Brian Reynolds, volunteer for the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. Today, we were joined by Lisa Vallejos, Senior Coordinator, Language Arts and Language Development, County Office of Education, and two parents from Pacheco Elementary School, Sasha Jefferson and Laura McCarley. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.